I'm awakened to my walkie-talkie, which is laying by the bed. It was like, Jenna Banana, you are in extreme danger. Do not move. And I look out of my tent and I am literally surrounded by at least 30 to 40 elephants. All around me. I felt the most peace that I think I've ever felt. I made eye contact with this baby elephant that was right in front of my tent because the baby elephant was right at my eye level. And the baby elephant was covered by its mama. But I felt so connected, a connection that I had never felt before. And in that moment, it just made me think, you know what? There's something bigger. There's something bigger and better. And again, it goes back to those two words that I had been hearing and trying to dismiss for so long. And it just hit.
Metaphysics. It's a noun, the definition of which is the branch of philosophy that deals with the first principles of things, including abstract concepts such as being, knowing, substance, cause, identity, time, and space. That's the definition of the word metaphysics. But then there's also this definition, the abstract theory with no basis in reality. Both are from the dictionary, you can look them up. But there's another way of defining metaphysics, a way that millions of people around the world prefer to define it, a way of life. Enter the skeptic metaphysician. My name is Will, and I, like Mulder from The X-Files, want to believe. So I've embarked on a journey of discovery. I've talked to people deeply entrenched in the spiritual world. I've thrown myself into weird and wonderful experiences. I've even joined a coven of witches, all in the interest of finding something. Anything that will prove that there's something beyond this physical three-dimensional world we all live in. In modern philosophical terminology, metaphysics refers to the studies of what cannot be reached through objective studies of material reality. And this so interests me, like a lot. Now, I'm not talking about the actual scientific study of things, not material. I'm talking about the more esoteric studies, things like reincarnation, ESP, astral projection, energy healing, clairvoyance, shamanism, spell casting, spirit channeling, astrology, numerology. Well, you get the point. We'll be diving into stuff that is so far from the generally accepted school of thought that I fully expect my mind to be blown. At least that's my hope. To be fully transparent, it's taken me a long time to find a single thing that has given me physical, tangible proof that there's something beyond this world. As hard and as far as I've searched, there's not much out there that's made me a believer. So fingers crossed that someone out there will be able to prove once and for all that this stuff actually exists. So if this kind of thing interests you or intrigues you in any way, I hope you'll join me as I continue in my search. I'm not going to be all mumbo-jumbo about this stuff, but rather really dive into this stuff and see what can come out of it. All, of course, with the utmost respect of those sharing their stories with us. This is The Skeptic Metaphysician. Hey, welcome to the show again. Unbelievably excited to have you here today, especially because today I'm surrounded by special guests. Now, because my guests today are such special guests, I've invited my good friend and life partner, Karen Ensley from Destination Virginia and Cooking from the Heart, to come on as my guest host on the show. She's got a very unique perspective that I know will bring a lot to the show, and I can't wait to have you to get to know her. But the most exciting thing about today's show is indeed our very special guests, Jana and Jason Shelfer. Now, I knew them back from my days in Orlando as Jana was a radio personality extraordinaire, Jana Banana, on the top radio show of that area at the time. But wow, is she so much more than just that. Her and her husband, Jason, have created a podcast called The Living Lucky Podcast. Let me tell you a little bit about that. This is what their description reads. The Living Lucky Podcast with Jana Shelfer helps you to live, laugh, and grasp every day. Jana and her husband, Jason, are edutainers, which I love. From their entertaining stories, the jewels of life advice that they teach, to the motivational speeches they share, you will be inspired. Jason's mission in life is to help others become their best, and you are one decision away from living lucky. I'm super excited to welcome to the show Jana and Jason Shelfer. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. What a pleasure to be here today.
Yeah, it's been a while, hasn't it?
It has been about 10 years or so, but it's...
You look the same.
No,
you
I don't, but thank you.
Drinking from that fountain of youth.
All right. That's probably something we could absolutely say about you. I look at you guys. You've got no wrinkles at all. My forehead is just a big moonscape, but you guys look fantastic.
Yeah, you have not changed at all.
It's that filter we have.
Yeah. We've got a lot of filter.
We love this virtual world.
That's right. I need to know the name of that filter for sure. Yeah. Because
we'll be downloading.
It's called Living Lucky. That's what it is.
Oh, that. Nicely played. Very nicely played. All right. So so I confession, I do listen to your podcast on a regular basis and enjoy it quite a bit, which is why I extended the invitation to come on the show, because specifically, and we talked a little bit about this before we started, specifically, you have shared your transformational story with your audience. And I found that to be so inspirational. And in fact, a lot of the things that you're talking about, there's a lot of similarities between what you all went through over the last several years and what Karen and I have been going through the last several years, which is another reason why I wanted to have Karen on the show today, because our stories, a lot of synergies involved in it. Really, just to start our conversation off, we knew each other about 10 years ago. We worked briefly together about around that time. And right around that time, similarly, it seems like we all hit some sort of massive wall that forced us to reimagine ourselves in every way. I'd love to get your take on what happened and how did you change your life?
I hit 38 years old and I started looking around at my life, and from the outside, it looked like I had it all. It looked like I had a perfect marriage. It looked like I had the number one career. People recognized me. People knew who I was. They knew my name. It looked like we had the most fabulous house in such a great neighborhood. But inside, I was hearing this voice that said, Jana, there's something bigger and better for you. Go find it. And to be honest with you, I was trying to suppress that voice. I was trying to ignore it at all costs because I literally thought, well, I'm living it. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And the more that I tried to suppress this voice, then it started yelling at me and it started acting out in other ways to where my body started breaking down. I started getting allergies. I started having to go from doctor to doctor saying, there's something wrong with me and I can't explain it, but my bones are starting to hurt and I can't be around people and I'm starting to get anxiety and I can't sleep at night and just all of these really bizarre physical things started happening. It almost started to become a full-time job just trying to figure out what was wrong with me. And I was getting all sorts of ideas from doctors. Oh, maybe you have Lyme disease. Maybe you have fibromyalgia. Maybe you're just going through a midlife crisis. Maybe you have hormones. I mean, all sorts of really crazy things. And finally, I went to Jason and I said, you know what? Something is wrong with me. And the thing about it is neither one of us were very spiritual people at this time. In fact, we called ourselves Christers. We barely went to church on Christmas and Easter. That was really the extent of it. And I went to Jason. I said, I think I may be going insane because there's something that is wrong with me.
Well, it doesn't help either when each doctor you go to says the last one was crazy. You know, and you've been, and for the last couple of weeks, or at least, or maybe even months, you've been following those directions to a T. You know, they're like, it must be Lyme disease. So you need to be coming in here and getting these antibiotic treatments intravenously or
blood injections I was trying things that Lance Armstrong was trying. Yeah. I mean, because before this, many people don't know, I was a Paralympic athlete. I'm a gold medalist. I'm not used to my body breaking down. Yeah. And it was really affecting my life. It was affecting my career. It was affecting my marriage. My sex life was non-existent. Everything was falling apart. It was almost like I was in this downward spiral.
And it's very interesting to hear that from you, because everyone that I know saw you as an incredibly inspirational
Yes.
A person.
Not only an inspiration, but they saw me as a high achiever. Mm. They saw me as Jana Banana, the positive, fluffy, very almost comedic relief at times.
But you
for
also
the Phillips file.
Right. But then right. You also showed people who had the same type of disabilities that you have how they can live their life to their fullest. I mean, we did a show about how you went paragliding with us. You did all kinds of really cool things that were super inspirational. And yet it sounds like during that time you weren't really feeling it.
I was disappointed. I was looking around at my life saying, you know what? Something's missing. I can't figure it out. And also at that time, I had hit a lot of rejection. I had started to apply for countless promotions at work. And I had started to be told, you know what, Jana, you're just too good where you are. You're just too good. Or I would go and ask for a raise and they would say, oh, Jana, you know what? Do you know how many people would do your job for free? Or I was told, you know what? You live in Florida. We pay you in sunshine.
There's only so
much. Oh my God.
Yeah. You did not hear that.
You know, and so there were some things going on inside.
The pie is only so big.
Yeah.
There's only so many pieces of the pie.
Right. And so we got to pay you in crumbs because we pay this person this big of a piece of pie. And so, you know, I had hit a lot of rejection and I had also come to a point where I was thinking, have I peaked? Have I peaked in life? Is this really what I dreamed of when I was younger? Is this really what that childhood dream was? Because I thought it was going to be bigger and better. And that's what that voice was telling me. Jana, there's something bigger and better.
I feel like we all get there and we all have those glimpses. And Jana is just very in tune with herself. So when she was in her accident 15 years ago, she learned to listen to her body and listen to the things that she lost some feeling with. And learn to communicate with herself. I mean, she's a communications major. She's communicated with Orlando. She's speaking as her thing. So she learned to kind of listen to her body. However, she learned to turn that dial down for herself and start listening to her audience.
Right.
And that's where she kept pushing that voice down where, and we do the same thing. Because, I don't think I'm different than anyone else when I think on those days, God, is this it? You know, I feel like I'm on a hamster wheel of life and I'm working so hard and it's just the same stuff all day, every day. And then that moment passes because I'm waking up the next morning and having to do the same thing over again.
Right.
We both got to a point where we felt like we were putting in extra.
All the time.
Like we were constantly putting in extra in so many areas of our life. And we didn't see
the return
progress.
Yeah.
Right.
And it got to a point where our souls were exhausted.
Right. And as anyone who has tuned into the show before knows, I love conversations with God and those kinds of books. And they all talk about the fact that your soul will speak to you in whatever way you will listen. And it sounds like your soul was saying, okay, you don't want to pay attention. Your body's going to be the vehicle in which we're going to talk to you now to get your attention.
That's it.
And honestly, when you don't pay attention to it, it will start screaming. And it's like a little kid. You don't pay attention to it. It's going to start screaming and yelling. And when you still refuse to pay attention to it, it's going to have a tantrum. And then if you continue to just ignore it, it's going to start attacking.
Absolutely. It taps you in the shoulder first. You don't listen. It shakes you. You don't listen. It slaps you in the face. If you don't listen, you're in for a world of hurt. So,
yes. Yeah.
And I know that as a woman, sometimes it can be even harder to listen because you're taught to be grateful. You're taught to be happy with what you have and you're taking care of people. So you shouldn't want more. So was that hard for you to kind of reconcile that?
I say this all the time. I had become Jana Banana. And so it was like this facade, and on the inside wasn't quite matching what was on the outside. But because I was trying to please, I was trying to be a wife, I was trying to be a colleague, I was trying to be an entertainer, I was trying to fit all of these different roles that I had been socialized to become, I wasn't listening to my essential self, which is when you peel that banana, you realize, hey, wait a minute, there's something else in here. And that's what I am really finding. And that's what my whole journey has been about, is that as I peel that banana, the gold is really inside.
Absolutely. So we went on a vacation.
Right. And,
I'm getting a little sidetracked. But that's our story.
And these are great points. Jason, this must have been incredibly difficult for you to be a part of, because as someone who I know you as someone who's incredibly devoted and loving husband and partner in life, to see someone suffering like she had been suffering at the time, must have been incredibly difficult for you.
Well, we both started suffering. And part of it is when you keep hearing from doctors that this is wrong or that's wrong, and then that just wears on you. And they got to the point where it's like, Jana, I would come home and Jana would be like, I'm not going to another doctor. I'm done. I'm finished. And I was like, well, you can't give up. But doctors, the bedside manner for a doctor is so important. And when they keep telling you, hey, you're crazy because you're listening to the last crazy doctor, but when all you're looking for is a solution and you're going to people that are considered the professionals, that's a problem.
Well, they were trying to treat the symptoms and they weren't really getting to the core. And it did get to a point where I was unable to get out of bed. And that's when that's when the part of the story goes to a really dark place where it did affect Jason and I, because we both felt so lonely and yet we were on separate islands
together.
He was like, Jana, you got to pop out of this. And I was at the point where I don't even have the energy to get out of bed. I have forgotten how to brush my teeth. I have forgotten how to brush my hair, and I really don't care anymore. I just want to lay in bed under my heating blanket and I just want to sleep
in our cocoon.
And then I couldn't even sleep. So I just want to lay here and I just, I don't even care. I don't care anymore.
Right. You hear about that so often. It's shocking to hear it from someone who you believe has it all put together. Like everyone really thought Jana Banana had it all put together, but really you are experiencing things that millions of people on this planet experience.
Hundreds of millions.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you something. I am so grateful that I went through these last 6 years because I have grown so much as a person. And it's not until you are completely on the bottom and you are completely on your knees that is when you finally surrender and you finally say, you know what I'm doing isn't working. And that's when you finally just let go of your ego and you say, you know what? I need help. And it seems like that's when you start experiencing the magic of something that is so beautiful and so divine. And that is when I started to find my faith.
Yeah, it seems like you kind of have to be broken down in order to let the ego, the personality, the who you are drop and allow yourself to be open to what the universe is trying to tell you.
Right? Yeah. So, and I want to be clear that she said surrender, not give up.
Yes.
Not right. Because that was the key, is just surrendering the ego and not giving up, because the only way to fail is to give up.
Yeah, that's really, really well stated. Absolutely. So we've talked on the show a lot about the surrender that it takes to gain any kind of spiritual growth as a human being, as a soul, right? Because that's who we are, as a soul. So great point. Sadly, a lot of people actually do give up. And that's where we get to where, sadly, this country has fallen to in some ways.
Sometimes some of those things that we are so unwilling to surrender, we're holding on to so tightly, are so toxic. And we just don't even see it.
Absolutely.
We don't even see it. And for me, one of the wonderful things about these transformations is, yes, not only does it affect my life, but it makes me so much more compassionate and understanding for other people, because you don't know what's going on behind closed doors.
Absolutely. And your changes, your evolution actually affects others. So it's not just you, it's everyone around you.
Karen, you nailed it. Because as this all started happening to me, I started getting in touch with what was my childhood dream? What did I dream about when I was little? I went through this huge journey, but I started going through my childhood dance costumes. I started going through my childhood papers that I had saved, my artwork. And I had written down in first grade, my dream is to entertain stadiums of people. And I want to twirl my baton. I want to be the feature entertainer. Like that was my childhood dream. And as I went through this deep depression, and I'm talking 2 years where I cut myself off from the world, it was that time period where I realized without this depression, I wouldn't have the compassion, or I wouldn't understand. I wouldn't realize the light. I wouldn't have the story to tell. And I realized that my dream is still to entertain stadiums of people. It's just not with my baton. My baton is my story. I'm going to be talking and telling people and sharing my experiences. That's how I want to perform. That's how I want to entertain. It's still the same dream. It's just a different way of getting there. And without this depression, I don't think that I would have ever found that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We say the same thing, that we're grateful that we went through what we went through. We hated it at the time, but we're super eternally grateful because it's made us who we are now. And it's a much better people.
And our marriage went through the exact same transformation. I thought that we had a great marriage, but it was a little surface. You know, in our 30s, we were going out a lot. We were socializing. We were entertaining a lot of people. We weren't having those deep conversations. And I feel like this whole depression has brought us closer on a level that I can't even explain to people until you go through it. Mm. It's been profound for both of us.
Yep. Yeah. And one of the big things is we talk about a lot is the big saying is don't judge someone until you've walked a mile in their shoes. Or I don't even know if that's quite it, because you can never judge anyone. Because even if you walk a mile in their shoes, you haven't walked the previous 1,000 miles in their shoes. And you're not going to walk the next 1,000 miles in their shoes. You can walk next to them. But until you can get literally in that same exact path and then the same exact thought process forward and backwards on that timeline, it's not possible. Just allow people to be who they are, where they are, and let them go where they're going. Help them along the way and let them help you, because we're all part of this journey together. It just makes life easy.
Absolutely. We're all on our own personal journey. That you can't judge someone else because you have no idea. It doesn't matter how many steps in their shoes you take. You'll never really know.
And there's so many degrees of separation between us, but that's also the connection between us.
Right.
And how people react and respond to things is based on their life history.
Yeah.
And we don't know what that is.
And it's amazing.
I was reading a book by the Dalai Lama, and he's talking about when you get cut off in traffic and you're really mad at this jerk that cut you off. Well, maybe they're rushing to the hospital. Maybe their son is on a stretcher. You have no idea what's happening.
Right. Absolutely.
So you just have to hope the best for them and be glad you're not in that position.
And that's become a pillar of my Living Lucky platform, is becoming grateful for those types of moments. You know, we all have moments like that where we get cut off in traffic. And those are the times when you stop and you say, you know what, maybe I need to take this time to have a little vacation in my mind, or maybe I need to take this time to listen to Will's podcast, or maybe I need to take this time to just sit and be still and be grateful that I'm not in a rush. You know, it's like, right, take the time to be grateful in those radical moments. And that was actually part of my transformation. I've always been grateful for the things that I have. You mentioned that I'm a paraplegic and I was injured at age 15. I've always been grateful for what I have. And that stemmed from right after my accident in the rehab hospital. A fellow patient asked me to scratch his nose. He was a quadriplegic. And in that moment, I thought, oh, I'm so lucky that I have my hands, and I'm so lucky that I have my mobility. I'm so lucky that I have all of these things. But it was during my depression that I actually took the time to write the question, I am grateful for my paralysis. And it's almost a radical gratitude. It's being grateful for the crappiest things that you perceived to happen to you. And if you can find gratitude in that, you realize my story is planning out better than I ever could have imagined. It's almost like, and then that's part of living lucky. It's almost like I planted this back when I was in first grade saying I want to perform in stadiums. And it's almost like my story is lining up for me to do that.
Or maybe God or the universe has actually written the script for this play.
So I'd love to transition now into the vacation that you went on.
So Janice, because freaking out on the floor in the bathroom at the poker tournament, I think.
Phillips File poker tournament. Yes. I was having a panic attack and I was like, Jason, I can't be around people. I cannot be around people anymore. And he's like, this is your job. You're supposed to be around people. And he's like, maybe we just need to take a vacation. So long story short, we went to Africa and we really put all of our savings into a grand vacation. And we went to the Serengeti. We were in the middle of the Serengeti and we had scheduled a trip out into the bush the next morning. And the next morning came, I wasn't feeling well. So I stayed in bed.
My bones hurt.
Yeah, because that's where I was at that time. And Jason went without me.
Like, well, we just spent all of our money on the trip. I'm going.
And I'm in bed and I'm awakened to my walkie-talkie, which is laying by the bed. It was like, Jenna Banana, you are in extreme danger. Do not move. And I was like, what is happening? That was the one thing that gave me enough energy. Like, what? I'm in danger.
Yeah, it's kind of like, don't think about the color red. Jenna's like, out of bed, in her wheelchair, yes, at the door.
I got to see this. So I hop up and I go over to the edge of my tent. Now you got to picture this. We've got a girl in a wheelchair in a tent in the middle of the Serengeti all by herself. And I look out of my tent and I am literally surrounded by at least 30 to 40 elephants.
They're 30 just to
all
40.
Around me.
Wow.
All around me.
Now I need to just back up because on our way into this camp, the first day we're coming in, our driver named Eustace is driving us through nothingness. Mm-hmm. And in the distance on the horizon, you see this trail of elephants, trunk to tail, trunk to tail, trunk to tail. And you can barely make them out on the horizon. And Jana looks over at Eustace and she goes, Eustace, where are they going? And he goes, I don't know.
Anywhere they want.
Very special.
He did. He told us they were going somewhere special. And then here I am.
They left it at that.
Yeah. And then here the next morning, I look out my tent and I'm surrounded by these elephants. And I think, oh my gosh.
I don't know that they're the same elephants.
I do. I know. I'm that something special.
The way the universe has been working out, I'm pretty sure it was.
First of all, what are the odds? It would be a different set of 30 elephants. Second, I mean, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about the fact they're going to a very special place and suddenly it's something that changed your life.
It was like the moment because I didn't feel in danger at all. I felt the most peace that I think I've ever felt. And I actually connected. I made eye contact with this baby elephant that was right in front of my tent. And what's so funny is that it was the baby elephant because the baby elephant was right at my eye level. Wow. And the baby elephant was hovered by its mama. And
that was the dangerous part.
And that actually made it even supposedly more dangerous. But I felt so connected, a connection that I had never felt before. And in that moment, it just made me think, you know what? There's something bigger. There's something bigger and better. And again, it goes back to those two words that I had been hearing and trying to dismiss for so long. And it just it just hit.
I feel it. I feel it. And I didn't go through it. And I still feel it from your story. I felt it when I heard it on your podcast.
Yeah.
And hearing it now, just the thought of it. It's remarkable.
Now, for somebody that doesn't believe that is kind of crazy. And when you come back, I quit my job and I felt like I got a little backlash from my family, from my husband, from my friends, eventually myself. I felt like, what am I doing? Maybe I am crazy. I literally quit my job because an elephant told me to. Like, that was the story I was telling myself, you know?
Well, I felt like I was okay with the job quitting. It was the hard part for me was when we were sitting at the closing table for our new house. When they said, well, do you both still have your jobs? And Jana's like, heck no, elephant told me to quit mine.
So, but before we get too far into that, so how did the story conclude? I mean, did they just kind of pick up the trunks and walk away, or did you go back in the tent?
I got back from my safari because basically when all that was going down, they're like, y'all need to come back. Jana's not listening. She's got the tent door open and we've told her clearly not to move. She's in extreme danger. So I get back and the guards are out with their rifles and Jana's still sitting there with the door to the tent open, looking at this baby elephant. And I got a couple pictures and some video. But when our Jeeps came back in, they did start kind of moving off. And I got some great footage of the elephant starting to move on. Mm-hmm. But it was, we kind of cried a little bit and then had breakfast. It was really, it was interesting. Yeah. It was a very spiritual morning.
Absolutely. Now, we talked about the soul speaking to the body to get your attention. It seems like the spirit now was speaking to you in a different, from an external point of view, but through these elephants, right? Because everyone is saying you were in extreme danger, but you didn't feel that. You felt a connection with these animals that are known to be extremely dangerous in the wild, especially if they have a baby among them. but they didn't do anything because probably, and I'm going to sound really kind of out there right now, I think they probably felt the connection too, right? I think that they knew intrinsically that you were of no danger to them or their baby. So they said, okay, we're cool. We'll step off and go to the next special place.
I think we have such a strong connection with nature if we let ourselves experience it. Like we had with the robins when I was pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, there are signs if we open ourselves up to them, they're there. Yeah. And you can't not see them.
What's so beautiful about this whole story is in January of 2020, I went to the Rachel Hollis conference and there was a speaker there, Jen Hatfield, I believe is her name. And in her presentation, she actually does a whole presentation about elephants in the wild surrounding someone in need.
Wow.
And they will actually circle up. And when they sense that somebody is really hurting and somebody's really suffering, they will actually circle up and help that person. And it's a show of support.
I heard that.
Absolutely goosebumps all over me right now. That's amazing.
And then to follow that up even further, I was sitting there watching this. And of course, you know, that really hit me. And that was in January of 2020, and the promo people for Rachel Hollis took pictures of everyone in that stadium. But now in 2021, they've been using my picture to promote their 2021 conference. So I feel like they felt that I was feeling that connection at that moment as well.
Right.
And I know, I just know, like this is living lucky, but I know that I will be a part of that Rachel Hollis conference in the next few years. I know that I will be a guest speaker. I just know it.
Yeah.
Karen, I love that you said the connection in nature if we're open to it, because mm-hmm. I believe part of living lucky is being open to recognizing the opportunity that's always there. And I believe just like being open to nature and allowing nature to connect with us, that we can connect to the opportunities that are always around us. Because when we started living lucky, we started recognizing all these miracles happening around us all the time. So it's realizing that the universe, God, everything is kind of working with us, through us, by us, and for us instead of happening to us.
Right.
You know,
we're not victims.
Yeah.
No.
And all these things have a reason. And so the opportunities literally are just popping up. And it's almost like just reach out and grab whatever feels good and feels like it's purposeful in your life. And that's kind of that connection to nature, if you need it to be, or whatever is going to help you spiritually or help you in your growth area. Mm-hmm. So, and I love that.
Yeah, me too. And the more open you are to these experiences, the more experiences that will will come across your path. I mean,
reticular
activating.
Thank you, Jason.
And our experience, I briefly mentioned it, and I'll just tell you quickly, was with these robins. So we got pregnant. Older. I was in my 40s when I had Sienna, and I had a miscarriage, and I was very concerned. Am I going to be able to get pregnant? I had no idea. I mean, we were fortunate. We were lucky. It was very simple. We never had any problems. But I remember we were working out of home, walking out to the office and looking and seeing a couple birds, just a couple little robins in like the driveway. And I'm like, oh, those are cute. And then I noticed there's three or four. And then I walk to the front of the house and I look out the front window and there must have been, I don't know, 70 or 80 robins in our front yard. No other house, just our front yard. And I remember looking at Will saying, Will, I'm pregnant. And sure enough, we did the test that week, and Sienna's sitting right next to me, and she's 10 years old.
There you go. That's awesome.
Yeah. I think we all have those stories. Mine is from whitewater rafting, and it was at a really terrible point in my life. My brother's wedding, I was happy for him, but my life wasn't very happy. We went whitewater rafting the day after the wedding. And if you've gone whitewater rafting in the Colorado River, it's a bear. It's not something to sneeze at. And there are times when I literally was afraid for my life, especially because they kept saying you need to be careful, that someone had just died the day before in the river, that kind of thing. So it was scary. And then there are times where you go through the whitewater rapids and then you go to these incredibly peaceful areas of the river where it's just you and nature and nothing else. And in one of these particular times, we had just finished a especially difficult whitewater section. It opened up into this beautiful lake almost, and there were these butterflies flipping around. And everyone's like, oh, land on my finger. And it was having none of it. But something said to me, Will, if you put your finger up, that butterfly is going to land on your finger. And I didn't even second guess it. I didn't even move my arm. Something moved my arm for me. And when I put my hand up, lo and behold, that butterfly, damn, it just landed on my finger. And I was just, I couldn't speak. I couldn't say anything. But then I saw everyone else looking over at me. But how did you get it to land on your finger? I had no idea.
I'm God's favorite.
I looked at the butterfly looked at me, we connected, and then it just kind of flittered on it, went on its way. That was the most profound experience that I speak about to this day. And we're talking times, I mean, I've had to drive a cab to make ends meet. This was the moment that made me who I am. And thinking of that moment is the thing that keeps me connected.
That's really what it all comes down to. And as we've gone through this journey, I've realized that it's believing in myself, believing in the people around me, believing in my circumstances, and believing in the universe. Is living lucky.
And this is the thing, just like parents, the universe, God, higher power. Let's just say higher power. Mm-hmm. You are the favorite, and it's believing you're the favorite. And just accepting it. And it's not an ego thing. It's just saying, you know what? I'm the favorite and being okay with that. And we're all the favorite.
Right.
It's okay. Because your parents want you to be the favorite. It's okay. I can be in a family of 12 siblings and it's okay for me to believe that I'm the favorite. And it's okay for my brother to believe he's the favorite. And it's okay for my sister to believe she's the favorite. Yeah. And that's what my parents want. That's what my universe, my creator, my higher power wants.
Yep.
And for me to just to live in that moment, in that glory, and accept all the opportunity that comes with that and the gratitude that comes with that.
Yep.
And that's where living lucky comes in.
Absolutely. That's a great way to wrap it up. I'm a believer that we are little bits of God. We are part of God. And as part of God, we are one. And so, of course, we're the favorite because we are the same. You, us, everyone, we are the same. We're one and the same. So
he's listening to this podcast right now.
Absolutely.
It's his favorite.
Absolutely. And so it's incredibly inspiring to listen to your stories on a weekly basis on Living Lucky Podcast. I encourage anyone If you haven't heard the show, go and find it right away. It's really wonderful. This podcast, probably twice the length of your typical podcast. They're really great digests, at least the audio part of it. It's super, super fun to listen to. You, the two of you together, are a joy to be a part of your story. So thank you so much for coming and sharing it with us.
It was fun to connect again. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
it was.
Absolutely.
It really was.
And I hope that we don't lose touch now for another 10 years. Hope
yes. Yes. Right.
If that was God and he was calling for me, make sure you give him my new number.
Hey, it was my picture that popped up on his cell phone.
I'm the favorite.
That's right.
Right. Well, thanks so much again. Really appreciate it. And thank you, listener, for listening today. If you'd like to learn more about our guests or check out their show, you can find the Living Lucky podcast on all the major podcasting platforms, or you can watch the video show on YouTube. I've laid in direct links to those in my show notes, so it's easy for you to access. They also have a very engaged social media presence, and links to those can also be found on the show notes. As always, please don't forget to subscribe to the show so you don't miss an episode. And don't forget, you can send us a voice message on speakpipe.com/skepticmetaphysician. We'd love to hear your thoughts, comments, questions, or feedback on the show or the guest. We love sharing people's stories and we'd love to share yours too. So please feel free to reach out if you'd like to come on the show. You can join us on Facebook at The Skeptic Metaphysician. Links to my social media platforms and SpeakPipe access, you guessed it, all in the show notes as well. That's all for now. Thanks again for listening in. We'll see you again in the next episode of The Skeptic Metaphysician. Until then, take care.